Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Jordan Roybern, publisher of The Daily Gold. Jordan, it's always great getting you on every week just to get your thoughts, technical and fundamental and intermarket analysis on the gold and silver markets. Let's start off with gold. It's had a really good year overall. It had that big move up a couple of weeks back in the middle of the height of the Ukraine tensions. It has corrected some, but it's still holding above the $1,900 level. And I've noticed the last couple of days and even the end last week, it held above that $1,920 level. What's your general outlook on gold in the short term? And where do you think things are heading in the medium term?
Well, I think that gold, first, it's obviously correcting. But my sense is that we're going to see some kind of bullish consolidation develop. Maybe it'll turn into a triangle. And that'll probably take at least a few months. And so the first big leg down of this triangle essentially already happened. So gold's oversold. It'll probably rally. I mean, I think given where it is, it has a good chance to rally, maybe up to, looking at the daily chart, there's some resistance at 2000. So on any rebound, 2000 on the daily chart is going to be a significant level. On the downside, I mean, 1900, 1920, I'm a little surprised that we filled the breakaway gap. I know you asked me about that, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago. Surprised to see that happen, but nevertheless, I don't think it changes anything. I mean, the outlook for me for this sector is really bullish. I know we'll get more into that. The stocks are acting better than gold. I know we'll get into that as well. But that's my sense of gold. With gold is it's going to correct for at least a couple more months, I think. But, you know, maybe in terms of price, we already saw the price low. So in other words, you know, gold could rally up to 2000, maybe a little bit higher, and then it'll come back down again. Maybe again, perhaps forming some kind of triangle. In any case, whether it's a triangle, I think eventually it is going to develop into some kind of bullish consolidation or continuation pattern. And so later, not too far in the future, I don't know, maybe it's going to be 3-4 months, maybe 5 months, can break out and move to a new high. So overall, pretty bullish. I don't see that much downside, only in terms of time.
Well, let me just ask you a question about the downside beyond the time, and that makes the most sense just to kind of grind sideways to work the rest of the correction out through time versus price. But let's just say 1900 was to fail, where would you see support coming in underneath the $1,900 level?
Well, I mean, we got the 50-day moving average at 1880. I mean, the 200-day is all the way down at 1817. But I mean, looking at the price action, I would say 1880 is the first level. And then you have that gap around 1840. So those would be the two levels. But I would be really surprised if we went any lower than 1880 at this point.
Well, then on the upside, last week, Jordan, we had talked about not just that there's the larger cup and handle pattern that starts in 2011 on the one side of the cup, goes to August of 2020 high on the other side of the cup. And then we were in that 18-month downward corrective move that formed the handle. But that really since August of 2020 to the recent peak we just made a couple weeks ago at 2078, a little mini cup and handle has formed. And that this corrective move that we're in right now is really forming that handle. Just walk people through again where that smaller cup and handle projects to and where the larger cup and handle projects to.
Okay, so the smaller cup and handle, depending on how you measure it, it projects, I've just been rounding up to 2,500, but depending on how you measure it, I mean, if you use closing prices, it probably measures 2,470, 2,480, something like that. So I've just been rounding up to 2,500 to keep it simple. The measured upside target for the cup and handle that we've been talking about over the last year or so, the measured upside target for that measures up to about 3,000. But that's just adding the depth of the cup to the top of the cup. That's how you get the target. Now, when you do that in percentage terms, you can call that the log target. Depending on how you measure it, that measures up to about, I want to say 3750 to 4100, but based on how I measure it, I get a target that's in the 3900s. So I'm rounding up to 4000 to keep it simple. And of course, it's much more catchy to say gold's going to go to 4000 than 3950. But that log target is, again, rounding up to 4,000. And looking at historical cup and handle patterns in major markets, there's not many, but in all of these cases, they tend to go from the measured upside target to the log target in 6 to 12 months. And then eventually they go beyond it. So this is, as we've talked about, this is a super bullish pattern. And so gold hitting 3,000, that's the first real objective. Well, I mean, we could say 2,500. That's the first real objective. Then you have the measured upside of 3,000. But, I mean, there is potential for it to go beyond that and, you know, well beyond that after the next couple of years. But, again, I think that the $4,000 target, I think gold is going to hit that. I'm publicly making that call in 2024.
Well, I appreciate you sticking your neck out and making that public call, Jordan. But the other thing I appreciate is it's not just some random number you're picking from the sky, which we've seen people do for over a decade. There's actually a method and a technical analysis reason for where things could extend to that point, and it's based on this cup and handle pattern. But it also highlights the point that while you may still see some corrective move in the near term, but longer term, you're still very bullish on the precious metal sector. But let's shift over to silver. I know it's not quite as exciting as gold as far as the way the chart is looking, but what is your outlook in the near term for silver? Where do you see support and resistance coming in on the lesser precious metal?
Well, there's initial support at 2450 and the resistance, looking at the daily chart, is at 2625. If we're looking at the monthly and quarterly chart, which, you know, when we're talking, are basically going to be at the end of the month when we do this next week. For silver and those charts, there is a lot of resistance in the 27, 28 area. And so I tend to think that, I mean, I could be wrong, but I get the sense that gold is going to break out and break above 2100 before silver breaks above 29 or 30. So I think silver is going to lag the start of the next move. But eventually it will take over and lead. But I mean, you're right. It's really not that exciting of a chart. I mean, we do have this consolidation, which is a bullish consolidation because silver has been able to hold above the 38% retracement for the most part, which I believe is at 22. So it is going to take silver some more time. I mean, there has been some more selling in silver, but similar to gold during this correction, I mean, we are seeing a few more black candles than you'd expect. So I wouldn't be surprised if, going back to gold, I mean, it is, you know, it could take 3 to 5 months before gold breaks out. And so that could be the same for silver with respect to, you know, 28 to 30, but then it might, because of lags, it might take another month or two after that. So I don't see anything that special in the silver chart, honestly, but I mean, the prognosis is bullish, but it is messy at certain points. But, you know, I know we're going to get into the stocks, and that's the positive here is that the stocks are leading. The silver stocks are leading silver. The gold stocks are leading gold.
Well, let's pivot over to that because there has been strength in the miners, Jordan, and it's nice to see the miners outperforming the underlying metals. And I'm honestly surprised at how well the gold stocks and the silver stocks have held up, considering that the whole commodity sector has been in a corrective move the last 2 weeks, and gold and silver have given up some of the gains that they had. But most of the mining stocks held on to the vast majority of their gains, and even some of the tiny juniors have started moving recently. So what's your outlook on the mining stocks looking at GDX and GDXJ?
The outlook is I'm super bullish. I mean, this is a really bullish setup. We've already talked about gold and the cup and handle pattern and how that will drag silver higher. You know, I think definitely to 50 bucks in the cycle and probably higher than 50 bucks. And now we're seeing the stocks really anticipate that next leg higher, because this correction in gold, if you look at the comparable points in history, 1978, 2009, after this correction, in both those cases, in one of those cases, I think gold went up, I want to say 46% in 6 months, and the other was about 42% in 4 or 5 months. So you think about that, I mean, this is a really bullish point. You know, this is with respect to gold, this is one of the last points or areas you could get in before it really moves vertical. You know, we're talking about the stocks, and the reason I'm mentioning those things with the gold price and the correction there is because the miners are starting, you know, I always say markets anticipate, they discount, they look ahead. So markets, even though we're in a correction. The market is looking ahead and it's discounting what is to come in, you know, both the silver price, but really gold. And so that's one reason why we're seeing the miners hold up really well. And, you know, the evidence of this, Shad, is number one, gold filled that gap, the breakaway gap that wasn't supposed to fill. Gold filled that, the miners didn't. Secondly, if you look at the daily candles in your GDX, GDXJ, and Silge, and you compare it to the daily candles in gold, there's quite a few black candles in gold over the last 10 days. When you look at the miners, I mean, in the last 10 days, they only have one or two black candles. So only one or two really bearish candles. There's more white candles. And this is a correction. They're supposed to be correcting. So, you know, I'm less concerned with targets for the miners right now, but I will mention it's interesting because in 2009, gold rallied up to 1,000, the resistance in February, and then it corrected, did a bullish consolidation for 4 or 5 months. Then it broke out in September. But interestingly, the stocks actually made higher highs. Like they went higher during a correction. So I don't know if we're going to repeat that exactly this time, but I think there's a risk of that happening given how well they're holding up. And we're only about, you know, 10 or 11 days into this correction, and the miners are just holding up really, really well. And I mean, this is a really bullish signal, and it tends to happen like really early in these bull moves. So this, I mean, this action that we're seeing in the miners, again, I've already said it, but it's really, really bullish. And, you know, the time to buy quality juniors and quality companies cheap here and now is really going to be your last chance, because, I mean, there's a chance that these metals prices, especially gold, you know, could go vertical on the next leg higher. And, you know, you're going to want to get positioned ASAP, because, you know, you don't want to have to in 3 or 6 months have to, you know, buy quality stocks that are 30, 50, 70% higher.
It's a good point, Jordan. And I hope that the listeners at the KE Report have already been getting positioned or have their watch list ready and have some mining positions that they can tranche into. You don't have to buy all in one motion, not telling people to buy or sell anything. We're just making an observation that if the medium to longer term, the precious metals are going to be heading higher and the miners are already this resilient, you don't want to be chasing it higher. But Jordan, one other thing I wonder is, with the mining stocks holding their value and outperforming the metals in the recent couple of weeks, could it possibly be that a lot of them really didn't move up to keep up with the metal when it moved up in that run of 2020 from the pandemic low up through August? Even though the pricing went up some and some mining stocks did go up, they really didn't process all the moves in the metal. And then we've had this big corrective move for almost 2 years. Is it possible now that the miners are finally starting to get valued at a better level relative to where the metals have been this whole time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is possible. And I think, I mean, obviously in the last 18 months, there has been quite a bit of pricing pressure. And I think the pricing pressure at some point during this run that they're starting is going to calm down. But I think my larger observation is just, given the technical setup of gold, the risk of a vertical move over the next 12 to 18 months. And then you couple that with the fact that, you know, we're probably a year away from recession. The long-term risk reward is really poor for stocks. So, I mean, all these factors are contributing to the relative strength in the miners. And so we're starting to see capital, serious big money move into the miners. And again, if you look at gold and these measured upside targets, I mean, talking about a potential for a doubling in the next 2 years, the upside that these stocks are going to have is just fantastic. I mean, companies that are, you know, producers now that are producing, you know, maybe they're cash flowing, you know, $800 or $700 or $900 an ounce. You know, you get the gold price going up another $1,000 or you know, $2,000. I mean, even if prices jump another 20 or 30%, the margins that these producers are going to have is just crazy. The optionality plays, you know, how things are valued in the ground. Like, I'll give one example. I'm following a small silver company, and, you know, I saw that at the $30 peak 18 months ago. They were valued at about $1 per ounce in the ground. And a couple days ago, they were valued around 35 cents. Well, what's going to happen if silver goes above 50 in the next 2 years? I mean, the value for silver ounces in the ground, it's probably going to be a lot more than one. I mean, even if it's $3 or $4 in the ground, which is nothing, that's 10x what this company is at right now, not even factoring in, you know, how many more ounces they can discover. So when you look at the math behind these things, you can understand this is really setting up for some potentially really spectacular moves. Of course, we can't predict the future. You know, we're not gambling on anything, but that's the real risk. The real risk to me is that people are not going to be positioned for the potential for real spectacular moves to the upside.
Well, it's a good cogent message to put out to investors, Jordan. And I guess one more question I have for you, speaking of the mining stocks and what you just outlined there of how producers' margins could grow in the rising metals price environment, I would submit that development companies, their economics are going to grow, and a lot of them are using $1,500, $1,600 gold. You know, it's obvious that gold's going to be hanging up far above those levels. So if gold does ratchet up above 2,000, heading towards 3,000, there's a point those economic studies are going to need to be updated, as will the valuations on those projects. And then obviously exploration companies, if they're sticking a hole in the ground and finding more gold or silver in a rising price environment, that's always going to be worth something. How are you structuring your portfolio right now to take advantage of this? Are you in a little bit of each of those categories, the producers, developers, explorers? Is there one you think may have better performance in the near term or longer term? How are you positioned in those different stages of mining companies?
Well, I think it's company specific. One thing I will say is I think right now during this, you know, little correction that we're having, I think this is the last chance to really get quality juniors cheap. And so what I mean is if you take a junior and maybe it's trading around a $1, $1.10, it's high from 18 months ago is $1.50 or $1.30, whatever. But if there's a risk that if you wait more than a month or two, in 3, 4, 5 months, that stock that it's $1, $1.10 now, you know, that could be $1.50, $1.60, and suddenly you're thinking, well, this could be a five bagger, and then after it already moves, it's already made a big move, you know, maybe it only has 3x potential at that point. So that's one thing I'm thinking about, and I'm telling subscribers is, you know, right now, here and now, you can still get quality juniors with, you know, 5x, 7x, and, you know, some 10x potential. You can still get them cheap, but if you wait 3, 4, 5 months, like, you risk having to pay up a lot. So there's that, and then there's also the lower quality companies that are more leveraged to metals prices. I am dipping into those a little bit, you know, companies that maybe they have a few more questions, maybe a few more small flaws. It's also time to start looking at those, because when the metals prices start moving, the market's going to completely forget about those flaws. And so on that optionality side, there is a lot of value there. So I'm also looking at those. I mean, I am active in private placements. I'm a little more active in the silver area in private placements, just because I think, you know, there's even more upside potential in silver than gold, obviously. And I will say in silver, you know, I'm really focused on exploration and a little bit less than that on optionality. But silver exploration is really interesting to me, because if any company can, let's say, discover, you know, 50 million or 100 million silver ounces, not silver equivalent, but silver ounces that has a grade of above, you know, let's say 150 or 200 grams, those are the types of discoveries and deposits that I think are you know, just from what's happened in the last 5 years, those are the types of deposits that I think that are going to get massive value and that have huge potential and huge leverage to silver going to 50, 60, 70 bucks. So I'm looking at that. On the gold side, I'm a little more focused on, you know, the producers and developers that I just think have really strong production growth potential. Because the economic potential of those assets, when you get to 2,500, 3,000 gold, the economic potential of those assets, especially if they're not super low cost, the economic potential is going to be massive. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at. But I think after gold breaks above 2,100, assuming it happens, you know, then the cheapest plays are going to be on the optionality side, or maybe, you know, drill plays that are still trading at a really low valuation. So I don't know if I directly answer your question, but that's how I'm looking at everything right now.
Yeah, that's some great points, Jordan. And I like that you really covered it all there, because at the silver, there's the potential to outperform as it finally catches up to gold. And some of those are not being valued for the ounces they do have in the ground. And on the gold side, yeah, those producers and even the development projects, if gold gets above 2100 and starts booking it higher into the mid 2000s, a lot of their margins are going to increase, especially on the higher cost producers, increase substantially. So you'll see some of that leverage and outperformance even from some of the not so perfect producers and developers. So we'll keep an eye on all those markets, and it's a good time for investors to be looking through their watch lists. If you want to get Jordan's take on which companies he specifically is talking to subscribers about, definitely check him out over at The Daily Gold. We'll put a link to that down below. And Jordan, we always appreciate you spending some time with us here at the KE Report, and looking forward to our chat again next week.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.